is the Phantom from the World Wide Web. Welcome to Phantom Radio, presented by the Kegel Company, the number one lane maintenance company in the world. Well, Phantom fans, this week's special guest is a man that first came into my world in early 1980. He was just a kid, but he had a love for the game that just continued to get stronger with time. And he has written about the game for various news outlets across the country and has reported about the game, its history, and its changes at radio stations literally around the globe. And he still coaches and bowls himself. He has a true passion for the game's history that would be very hard to match. And I was honored when he hosted me on his own radio program in the St. Louis area in the late 2000s. And we've both come a long way since Sholo, Arizona in 1980. And now, residing in the Wichita area, let's say hi to my old buddy, C.J. Layton. Hello, C.J., and welcome to the show.
Hello, Phantom. Always good to talk to you, old friend.
Man, it's my pleasure, and yeah, I know you're going to probably get me kicked off because your voice is so awesome, man. I know I've got a face for radio, but you got the voice for it.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Bards, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us on Phantom Radio, and I got a lot to talk to you about, so are you ready to do this with me?
Been ready for about 37 years or so. Let's do it.
All right. Well, there's a lot to cover, so I don't know. Let's start at the beginning. You know, I remember you telling me that you always loved the sport and that you grew up in the hotbed of bowling back in the St. Louis area back in the 60s and 70s. So I need to know who and how did that influence you?
Lots of things, Lenny. Obviously, you know, from the time I walked into a little eight-lane bowling center called Bud's Bowl in St. Genevieve, Missouri, in a basement back in 1965 when I was 4 years old, I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. Picked up my first ball then with a lot of help and just continued to go and go and go. I was infatuated by the game and everything about it. By the time I was 15, a new place had opened up in town, 24-lane house called Genevieve Bowl. I was averaging about maybe 150 then, but my average jumped by leaps and bounds in the next 2 years, and it was near 200 because I had great junior coaches who seemed to be as passionate about the game as I did. Constant clinics everywhere. And, oh, the pro-ams up and down Interstate 55, Lenny. My gosh, it's a who's who. Norm Myers, the great Dick Weber, Randy Lightfoot, all the St. Louis area guys, Nelson Burton Jr. And they would talk to me, and they would give me tips, and they saw how passionate I was about the game. Joe Joseph spent 15 minutes with me at the grand opening of that 24-lane house in St. Genevieve in 75. It was just tremendous influence by a lot of tremendous people. The SEMO, Southeast Missouri Bowlers Association, was hot. Tremendous amateur tournaments. I'd make money keeping score, and a lot of money, in fact, and tips and everything else. And some of them would even get together, and I'd ask them to watch me practice after some of the blocks. And they'd watch me practice. They'd give me tips. That was the first time ever somebody said, took me into a pro shop, Lenny, and took pieces of inner tube and glued them into my finger holes. Those would be my first finger grips.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My coach bought my first ball for me. That time, AMF Pro Classic. I got away from the house equipment, and right then I was fascinated by equipment changes for the first time. The Pro Classic really moved, kind of like the yellow dot. And Lenny, of course, it was television. Roth, Holman, Ritger, Zahn, Pappas, the great Earl Anthony, Steve Cook. And so my newspaper guy in town, I was stringing for him for high school stuff. He asked me to start reporting bowling. He came out to watch me bowl. He saw how passionate I was and how much I knew about it. So I was actually literally reporting bowling on local paper and radio as a teenager.
Wow.
So it was a fantastic time. But you know, Lenny, all good times go. Sometimes all good times must end. And I had to take time off after my move to Arizona in early 1978.
Yeah, well, you know, you learn from some of the best. You grew up in that golden age of bowling. And I want to get into all of that with you over a period of time. And, you know, mm-hmm. You're one of my most interesting guests. And I know it's going to take more than one show, but You know, I mentioned in the opening that you and I met in Sholo, Arizona. So tell us how you ended up there.
Well, there's where the 1978 layoff comes in, Phantom. I'd moved with my parents to St. John's, Arizona. Now, that's about 30 minutes or so away from Sholo. My senior year of school, I did not bowl. I didn't do much except work, chase girls, go to school, chase girls, play basketball and football and baseball, chase girls. But after school, and once I started working with a little surveying company, I started traveling around, and in the later part of 1979, I discovered Sholo Bowl. And I pulled into the parking lot. It was kind of a dirt and gravel parking lot, and I looked at the place, and I was kind of smirking to myself because I said, what kind of place is this going to be? I walked in. Lenny, you know, you were there. I mean, clean, the foyer area, Ebonite staff of champions, pictures all over the place, Don Carter, Don Glover, all this stuff. So I was just grinning from ear to ear, and then you smelled the oil. That was always my thing. Once you smelled the oil, you knew you were ready to bowl. That was the big thing. And I must have bowled 20 games that day. And I met this little guy, 5'7", 5'8" or so. Kind of looked like a laid off miner or something. But, you know, his facility was just immaculate. I must have bowled 20 games, and he only charged me for 5. Because after I came up for air, and I was doing everything. It'd been so long, Lenny. I was playing low ball some of my games, trying to hit the 10, trying to hit the 7. And I noticed this little guy looking at me. I mean, a lot. And so he charged me for 5. I stuck out my hand, and I thanked him. And I said, "Sir, this facility is immaculate. I am amazed at this." And I started talking about the staff of champions pictures on the wall, including Don Glover. And I know he was reeling me in now after years and years of knowing the man. He stuck out his hand and said, "Hi, I'm Don Glover." And I thought I was going to faint.
that's great. So let me ask you before I forget. I'm an old man. I might forget the next question. So how the heck did you and I meet? Do you remember?
Late spring of 1980, absolutely. Don was putting on one of his many weekend tournaments, that great Arizona Better Bowlers Association that was going on. You and him, had, apparently, as I was to find out later, had cooked up these terrific tournaments. Tons of talent showing up. Mike Feasey, Jim Harvey, Hall of Famer Paul Caldwell was in that group. And during Saturday qualifying, that was really where you and I had sat down and talked, and I just thought, man, does this guy know about the game. And then that's when I found out you talked a little bit about your lane maintenance stint with the PBA and so forth. I thought I was drunk. I'm just sitting here going, I'm getting all this information from a guy. Him and Sam Baca basically started that whole thing. So after Saturday qualifying, you, me, the local boys, out-of-towners, we all ended up, I don't know, some sawdust joint there in Sholo. I would never remember the name, but I ended up sitting at your table, and you and I were pounding a little bit of liquid Mexico, and but we were still talking bowling, though, and that's the one thing I remember. We were still talking about the game in between flirtations with the many local girls that were there, and that was the very first time you told me to be a student of the game, and I think you told me that just to enhance that because you realized that.
Well, you know, I heard you talking about the old days in St. Louis, and you brought up all those old names, and I knew not only physically did you know how to bowl, but you did talk a little bit about its history, and I saw that in you, and I wanted to pass along as much as I could.
Yes, you did, man, and I'll tell you what, you did. And that Sunday, the next day, I mean, everybody in the building probably had a classic hangover. I remember you shooting 279 on lane 8, always telling me in that final block of qualifying, I think you needed that to get like to minus 150 or something, but you always said that, you always told me that lane 8 was your favorite. So I'm going to move past that. The step ladder final was done. It was a great event, again, as always. We all went to the bar, and we closed it down. And here's the scenario, Lenny. The bartender, Denny, had passed out kind of sort of standing up. And so his head was on the bar. So it was me, you, Don Glover, and Paul Caldwell.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll make the drinks, and Don had a Budweiser, you had a Sunrise. I had what Don loved to call a pink sock. I had a Southern Comfort Sour. He liked to tease me. And Paul Caldwell was a blackberry brandy and soda guy. And I remember Don asking me if I'm going to have another pink sock, and you said make it a double, and Colwell said make it a triple. Nobody's going to pay for this anyway. Now, here I am, 19 years old, Lenny. It struck me then I was surrounded by two guys that I had nearly idolized seeing on TV, and another guy who was an obvious bowling lane genius. And we were just hanging out, and you guys were just hardworking guys like me that like to have fun. Stuck with me all my life.
Well, you know, I do remember that conversation, and I don't know, it's 30-something years ago, but I can remember your eyeballs were like biggest saucers, and you were soaking in whatever you could find out, and you were like a private eye, man, trying to find out as many facts as you could about bowling, and it was a pleasure and an honor to pass the stuff along to you, Pards. But I need you to hang on for a minute or two, as I need to tell our listeners about this month's Storm Bowling Trivia Contest, okay?
All right, man.
All right, Pards. Well, Phantom fans, this week we're going to have another one of our popular Storm Bowling Trivia Contests. And as you know by now, we have a Storm Bowling Trivia Contest every month. We award a lot of great prizes. And this contest will go for 1 week, so you'll have to submit your answer to me before midnight on Sunday, October 15th, to be eligible to win. And remember, these monthly contests are open to Phantom Fan Club members only. Okay, the October Storm Bowling Trivia Contest question is, in what city did our guest, C.J. Layton, have me on his radio show? Well, this was mentioned earlier in the show, so if you missed it, simply go back and listen again. It's just that easy. And remember, you must send me an answer before midnight on Sunday, October 15th. And please be sure to send me that answer at saveoursport@yahoo.com. And remember, you must be a Phantom Fan Club member to participate, so you can join today. All right, Pards, we're back from that short break, and we were talking about you being in Sholo and meeting Don Glover and all of us hanging around the bar talking about bowling and all that. But
great.
Did Don recruit you to start bowling league and all that?
You know, that part I wouldn't remember, but Lenny, if he did, I was an easy sell. he had great leagues. I know you had a hand in that, but he had great leagues. I ended up in his scratch league almost immediately, and he had a Sunday progressive called Top Dog that really got competitive. You know, there was one Sunday I shot a three-game qualifying of 8-15, and that was with an old Brunswick Black Beauty. And his lane guy, Tom Cobb, I think he went to his grave still not believing I did that, with a Black Beauty. Of course, after all the great lane changes you helped Don make, that was out. Ken Duncan drilled me a couple of yellow dots, a 9R and a 9T, drilled me a white dot, and I was off. I was averaging over 200 in leagues. Don and Ken would kick my butt in pot games until I found that mental game. That's where Don and Ken really helped me. They just take me in pot games and just make me lose my mind until I finally started taking some of their money. And then Ken would take me to Arrow Bowl in the Phoenix area, Phoenix Mesa area. That was pot game heaven, man. I shot an 802 in 1980 without a 300. That's still my highest series ever, thanks to those guys and a lot of your influence. And, boy, I was just having a ball, Lenny. I thought I was in bowling nirvana. In a little tiny town in Sholo, Arizona, I was learning fast. My game was getting strong, but my personal life, as teenagers will have sometimes, was in chaos. And the Marine Corps came beckoning, and I said, aye, aye, sir, and off I went.
Well, I remember talking to you, and it was probably, you know, when we reacquainted and I was on your radio show, but you were telling me that you were stationed at Camp Pendleton, and you know, I knew about that place down in San Diego because I'm an old California guy, and I had a bunch of good buddies that were stationed there over the years. But did you bowl there? And if so, what were the conditions like in those days? You know, like the balls, the lane surfaces, and just basically the lane conditions. What were they like?
I reported there in July of 1981, Lenny, and the first thing I did was went to the pro shop and bought three pieces of equipment from a gentleman by the name of Pete Carter, a former United States Marine Corps sergeant and Don Carter's brother. Okay, now, what happened to me when I walked into Don Glover's place and didn't know it was Don Glover? Now I'm walking into a brand new place, and I'm talking to another legend. Okay, immediately. So I immediately bought three pieces of equipment and went to work. You know, it was friction. Friction, friction, friction. It was then brand new, but it's the old Brunswick Anvilane. So it was synthetic, and friction base was still learning how to condition it. The heads hooked like crazy. It was definitely a straighter shot with the urethanes coming out. Well, it was kind of hard for me to play straight. I love the AMF balls. I love the black angle. The gray angle was a great backup. And by then, you and I have talked about this on my show years ago. All the ball companies were stepping up their game. The Ebonite Gyro series, Brunswick had that soft edge. Even Manhattan Rubber ended up making a gold urethane that was a really, really, really good ball.
That thing hooked.
Yes, it did. Oh, man, that thing went like crazy. And that was great when we went to military tournaments like in Long Beach or in El Toro where they like to use a lot of oil. Now, off the base, I was still making great contacts because, oh, Lenny, the regional PBA scene in California in the 1980s, are you kidding me? Randy Peterson, great guy. And I've interviewed him several times since then. Jim Harvey, a guy from your old neck of the woods at Golden Pin Lanes in Tucson. Jim Murdershaw was a regular. Which Bramwell. Mal Acosta.
Wow. Oh,
incredible talent. Ran into Paul Caldwell again, even more than once. So a lot of things were changing about the game, the conditions, the equipment, and it was coming very, very rapidly. Very fast.
Yeah. How about a guy named Larry Gray? You remember him?
I do not, unfortunately, Lenny, and I'm not saying I didn't meet him.
Yeah,
a lot of names in my life.
Yeah, he was from San Diego. He was a pretty good player. And so anyway, you mentioned the balls and the lane conditions of, you know, like you said, the synthetics were coming out strong, and also urethane balls, and the oil companies couldn't keep up, and that's why they hooked everywhere. So we had to find some ways to adjust this oil, and finally they caught up, but the ball companies have always been ahead of the oil companies. But anyway, about this time, is that when you started reporting on the game?
Well, I like to think of it as a continuation plus 5 years. You know, the last time I had reported on it was in St. Genevieve before I went to Arizona. But yeah, almost immediately with articles in the Pendleton Scout, radio that turned into local radio. Then if I'd get deployed overseas, there was bowling there. I'd talk about bowling overseas. Later in my life, I'd get transferred to Savannah, Georgia. I would immediately start talking there. Germany, Italy, I'd always be on AFRTS over there talking bowling. Even after the ceasefire in Desert Storm, that was an interesting article because the King Abdul Aziz Air Base had a 24-lane house, and that would be the future home of the Saudi Arabian national team.
Wow.
And I ran into the coach there, and we had great conversations, and I had stories about that.
I bet you did. Well, listen, the old clock on the wall tells me we're almost out of time, and as I said, I can't believe how quickly the time flies in the show, but you stand by, you hang around, you don't leave me. I want to have you back on in the very near future as soon as I get an opening. But, Pards, I really appreciate you being on with us and giving our listeners all the information that you did, and you bring back so many memories. I'm thinking about 20 different things I want to ask you at the same time. But thanks again for taking the time to be here with us, and I want to do more shows with you, so you stay in touch, my friend, and I hope to see you again soon somewhere down the road.
Thanks so much, man. You know I love you, Lenny. You take care of yourself, and you keep this show going, okay? Save our sport.
Thank you, CJ. I love you too, Pards, and Phantom fans, that wraps up another show for this week. I hope that you all enjoyed it. You enjoyed hearing from Craig Layton. And I want to throw this in there that just past weekend, I went down to the 10th annual Don Glover Memorial Tournament in Bakersfield. I saw his ex-wife, Carol, his widow, actually. And I was thinking about you the whole weekend. In fact, I sent you a T-shirt. And then I had to rewrap it because it was only a double XL, and I saw your picture. I think you need a triple XL. So, when you get the package, think about me, and I love you, Pards. And sponsors, I thank them for their sponsorship, and I want to thank Storm Bowling Products, Stars and Strikes, America's Bowling News Magazine, and Brad Edelman from the High Roller fame, and our good friend Dave Kowalski for his continued support of our show. We appreciate all that they do to keep us coming back to you each and every week. So for Phantom Radio, this is the Phantom.